If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Wow. Take a moment to reflect on that, huh? Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 10. And there are so many things that get into our hearts and into our minds that we just have to learn to cast them. Any of you ever been fishing? Or maybe you've seen a picture of someone fishing. There is a certain process that you use to get the bait out into the water. And what would that be, Vicki?
Casting.
Learning to cast. And there are a lot of different types of fishing reels. Many people use spinning reels. There are also something called a bait caster, a lot of times used in the ocean. And you also get back what they call back lashes, which are, it's kind of a difficult thing to deal with in the middle of trying just to have a smooth fishing experience. But the point is, when you're taking that bait and you're throwing it out into the water, and that's what it's like when we're casting our cares to God. I remember years ago, Vicki and I were talking about prayers and what that was like, and she had this analogy. It's like putting all of these cares and concerns in a big balloon in a basket and just letting it go, and that it would never end up coming back down to earth. We just let those things go, casting all of our care upon Him. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go there first. Casting. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. You know, that's so true. What a blessing to know that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Well, maybe we should start in 6, because this might be a key here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all, how much?
All
of your care. All of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. King James English is kind of interesting sometimes. But the reality is, it's like, let's just let go and let God. Let's not be the ones to have to sort of martyr ourselves and kind of prove to ourselves and others how much we're willing to put up with. Why go through that torture? Why not just, our first initial knee-jerk reaction is not to run from God to try to figure it out on our own, but to run to God and let Him get involved in learning to cast these cares, these anxieties, these thoughts and pressures and problems and issues and opportunities that, you know, do have a tendency to weigh us down, because you think of a burden, what does that normally do to somebody? It weighs them down, right? We kind of get, I mentioned that word, and you kind of get this mind picture of somebody that's sort of bent over and carrying such a heavy load. You know, we don't want to be the Christians who are carrying the burden of the world upon our shoulders. You know, Jesus Christ died to set us free from having to carry all of those worries, all those struggles, all those pains, all of those burdens, and the burden of the sin nature. We have been freed from that, like I shared last night. We have been delivered from the power of death, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We have been delivered. We've been set free. We have the ability to walk right into the throne room of God's grace and have boldness, have the wherewithal to allow God to take these cares and burdens from us. The thing that God really does so very, very well. You know, Jesus said, I think it was John chapter 14, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and get, my yoke is easy, my burden is light." See, so the question then kind of begs to be asked, why do I then carry the burdens that I can't hardly figure out anyway? I need God's help for me to really be able to walk with lighthearted in this world. And fortunately, God and Jesus Christ work together. They're partners together. They're one in purpose, one in heart. You know, Jesus is at the head of the body of Christ. He and God, Jesus does nothing outside of what God is working. And it's good to be reminded of that, because otherwise it can get to be, you know, kind of confusing. But we can let go of those cares. We can cast them and just allow ourselves to be freed from that and delivered from that. You know, no one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. You can't go back and change what's ever happened up in your life up to this point in time. But you know what? We can start today, and the ending of the story hasn't been written. The masterpiece hasn't been completed, right? Ephesians chapter 2 says we are fulfilling and walking in the good works that God has before ordained, because we're his workmanship. Beautiful verse, and that word is poema. It's that we're God's masterpieces that are being completed as we walk out in the greatness of the Word. Oh, gosh, here it is, Ephesians chapter 2. This is just so rich. You know, when you read these things, it's like, what burdens? What cares? Verse 4, God who is rich in mercy, that's God's unmerited, God's withholding merited judgment. It's like, we deserve it. But because when God looks at us, he sees Jesus, we are just like Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards whom? Us, through Christ Jesus. Well, I tell you what, if these words were 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide, that in the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. But you know what? We don't have to wait until eternity to tap into what our inheritance is. We can enjoy the blessings and benefits of that kindness in the here and now. But it's only going to get greater. It's only going to get better. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not a competition. I did more than you did, and therefore I get more. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. And that's that poema. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This journey isn't over yet. It's just so wonderful. So no, you know what? No one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today, this moment when we say yes to the Word. And you know what? The story is yet to be written. We can walk in those works, that masterpiece that God isn't finished with us yet. It's so revitalizing and so wonderful. So we learn to cast our cares upon him. We know that we have perfect standing with God's in God's grace because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And we can live out the reality, but we're going to go back to John chapter 10. We can live out the reality of what it talks about here in John chapter 10. Now, a shepherd has this characteristic of watching over the sheep, right? We know God is the great shepherd. Jesus spoke here in John chapter 10 that he is the good shepherd. And then he gives some things about what shepherds do and all that sort of thing. And he's talking in the context to the Pharisees and Sadducees in terms of the types of laws and commandments and yokes that they were putting on the Judeans at that time. And he's making a comparison. So he says, verse 7, Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief, can we say it all together, huh? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The thief cometh not. Yes, he was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And what they were doing is really stealing and ripping the people off from the true knowledge of Jesus as the Messiah and the liberty that comes as a result of getting to know Jesus. And so this also, you know, we've learned to understand as the mission of the enemy, to steal, to kill, to destroy. But so what? You know, the mission of Jesus is so much greater than that. Yeah. I am come. In contrast to that, you know, he might come to try and steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what? He has no place. We see it for what it is, and we just say, no, devil, no. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. You know what more abundantly and that life means is that we can have life in its fullness in every category. Every category. So we can start today. Start today. Start at this moment in time. And we make a decision and we say yes to the word. We declare that word, what that word says about me, who I am, what I have, where I'm going. It doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what circumstances are saying to me. I make a positive declaration, even in the middle of hell itself, let's say, that the word of God is the will of God, and God's got a path and a journey, and that his word will light my path. I don't care what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He's the good shepherd. He cares about what's going on in our lives. You know why? He loves us. He loves us. I don't understand that. You know what? I go to God, help me to understand more of your love. Help me to understand how you care for me the way that you do. These are the questions that God loves to hear. See? And so the story is still being written. You're still a masterpiece that's still being discovered and enabled, and the finishing touches are still being put on. It is a beautiful thing. I titled that teaching last night, Something Beautiful, because it is something beautiful in all of our lives to not only be made who we are in Christ, but then to be a member in particular in this great body of Christ to which you and I have been called. So don't try and go back and start all over in our lives, but start today. Start today. Start now and make a new ending. You don't feel like you've been praying enough, speaking in tongues enough, reading your Bible enough, all these other things, witnessing enough, abundantly sharing enough. You know what? There's 100 other things we could bring up and throw up in our past about what we are or aren't doing. You know what? Clean slate. You know? All things are new. Romans chapter 6. We can walk in that newness of life. Lord, forgive me where I've fallen short and help me to rise up to begin again and get back to where I know I can be. And let the story continue. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of this word that just energizes us and just, I don't even know the word. It just revitalizes us. It quickens us. It refreshes us, Father. And thank you that each day and each second of every day, this second right in front of us, is the eternal now. And that we can walk and just cry in our hearts to you, Father, to see the fulfillment of everything that you've called us to be in Christ, that we can be the greatest lovers this world has ever seen. We can be living testimonies of your goodness and walk in the fullness of your grace, Father, and help us to have greater wisdom, greater understanding of the Scriptures, and greater application of the Scriptures, Father, that your love oozes out of us everywhere we go. And we just have such a huge heart's desire to help and to serve and to grow and to minister, yeah, everywhere we go, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.